Good to see everyone out. Welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church this morning. Had a great 4th of July. Of course, a lot of places didn't get to have their fireworks, but it still was able to come off. And where, you know, our nation, we are guilty of taking for granted having a nation such as we have, even in the midst of turmoil. We're still the greatest nation on earth, in my opinion. God has really blessed our nation, and it's, you know, as His people, we need to do everything we can to praise Him and to thank Him for it. I haven't looked up. I heard one time that our nation in Rome is running really close in the amount of years. And, you know, Rome was destroyed not from without, but from within. So that's something to think about as our nation. But, again, I think we'll be proud of our nation, proud of our men and women who fought and died so we can have the freedoms we have in our nation, and I'm very grateful for it. I took it for granted for a lot of years, but I think as you get older, you come to take and understand those things more. Another thing is, you've seen on the board up here, we'll be having our 150th anniversary celebration in September. We'll be having other things that day also. The lady said we'd have 2.3 seconds. Is that right, Peggy? So we'll have to go in a hurry. But We have already got some pictures and stuff have came in and been found about the anniversary. I can't wait. Man, y'all was pretty. And so I'm ready for that. And, you know, 150 years is something, a great milestone for a church. We, again, take things for granted that those fathers and mothers and grandparents and their parents who paved the way that we could be here this morning and have all the comforts we have. I noticed one thing I was reading in 1935, they got a committee together to come up with money to buy wire. And in 1936, the church got electricity. And you think now, you know, if we wanted wire, we'd go buy wire. Well, but times was different. And they got together and come up with the money to buy the wire, to wire the church. And so God has really blessed it. So keep in mind as we go through, if you've got any old pictures, if you've got anything interesting about the church that you know about that maybe anybody else don't, get with one of us and we will try to get that mentioned. We're going to spend not a lot of time that day because we do have three things we're doing that day. But it is important that we recognize the birthday of the church. And so thank God for what He's done. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Ask your member Stephanie as she is working through her 42 days straight. This is her fourth or fifth, I can't remember, 12-hour shift for school. This is her school day where she works for free. So she got up about 4 o'clock this morning, went to the hospital, and she'll be there until 6:30 this afternoon. And all of it's for free, so it really ain't fun. But it's got to be done. She's got to have 10 of them by August. So y'all pray that God gives her the strength to go through it and the ability to put up with me through it. Brad Vines, ask you to remember him and his family as Brad's not doing good at all. Can you remember Ken G? Thought he might get to come today, but can you remember him? He is improving. And remember Janelle and the family as they help take care of him. And I'm ready to see him. I know he's got a lot of stories. Anybody else? I know there's many on a prayer request list that I'm forgetting, so I don't mean to forget anybody, but remember those, and you may have an unspoken prayer request this morning. God knows all about it. He understands it, and he will bless. So this morning we go, Lord, in prayer. Pray in your own way. Pray for God's blessing upon the service. I'm ready to preach this sermon. He's laid on my heart this week, and I'm excited to be able to get to stand. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you've blessed us with. We thank you for the nation you've put us in. God, I don't believe it's by happenstance that I was born in this great country. I believe you placed me here. And God, I thank you for it. I thank you for the family you placed me in and the churches that you put me in. And God, I'm so thankful. This morning, I ask that you touch these prayer requests that's been made known. That God, that you heal, if it be your will. If it's not your will, that you heal their bodies. God, you comfort the families. And Lord, you make certain that those people know you and that you have opened their eyes to the knowledge of all men need a Savior. God, I ask you to be with our church. God, as we begin celebrating 150 years this year, and I thank you for those who have paved the way, and God, those that will pave it in the future. God, I thank you for ever being faithful. Even though we change, you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ask you to bless our singers this morning as they sing. Let them sing nothing but praises unto you. And as it's preaching hour, God, I pray you touch my lips, that everything I say may be pleasing to you. These blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Age to age he stands. Singing this morning. Like I said, I'm ready to preach this message this morning. I have been thinking about it all week, and it's kind of crazy how you can read the verses, and some days they're just passed by, and other days something sticks, and you've got to dig deeper, and that's the story. This is it's a true story about a blind man who was healed. The only occasion in the Bible I read this morning, as I was studying some more, that a man who was, the Bible says, was blind from his birth for sure, was healed. Now, there's other places where blind people were healed, but we're not told they was blind from their birth. And here, this man was. He was forever blind. And you probably know where that's going. We were all blind spiritually from our birth. But if you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. We'll try to get you through this and get you to the restaurant and let you finish out your 4th of July weekend. Won't hold you too long. That's always dangerous when I say that, ain't it? But John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. If you would, please stand. This is some great verses. And man, if you just take each verse and break it down, we could spend a day on each verse. It said, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The Siloam interpretation is sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Father, we thank you for these verses. God, we thank you for the touch that you had on this man's life. And God, but on a personal note, I thank you for the touch you had on my life. That God, one day you saw me when I couldn't see you. God, I thank you for that. I ask you to open our hearts and minds today. For this is in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to see that the similarities between this blind beggar coming to have vision physically, then he got vision spiritually, to me and you today, and maybe somebody here that don't have spiritual vision yet. Maybe you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. Man, woman, boy, or girl are still saved in the exact same way that the way this blind beggar was, his blindness was cured. Number one, I want you to see this. Jesus saw him when he couldn't see him. Jesus saw the blind man when the blind man could not see him. John chapter 9, verse 1, let me read it to you again. And Jesus passed by and he saw a man. He passed by and he saw a man. Aren't you glad one day that Jesus passed by and he saw a man, which was you? And you couldn't see him yet because you was blind. Because you was blind, you couldn't see who he was. And this man, I think about this man a lot. As he would sit there and he would beg and he would wait one day for somebody to pass by. And he had probably heard about this man called Jesus. And obviously he didn't know what he looked like. He probably didn't know what he sounded like. But all he knew was that all of a sudden somebody was coming to him. And somebody was about to do something. I believe he could feel it. I believe he knew that things was about to change. And I want you to understand this. Before we ever had a birthday, God saw us. Before you was ever in your mother's womb, God saw you. God knew you. Listen, he knows everything, so he had to know that you would receive him into your life. And listen, he also knows those who reject him. He knows these things from the very beginning. He understands this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What about that? You see, the blind man, it didn't just happen that Jesus passed by that day, but when God was eternity past, he saw this blind man, he chose this blind man before the foundation of the world. Is that not amazing to you that God saw that? And you today, if you were saved before the world was ever founded, he saw you. He saw you. And that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Why did he want to send his son for you? So you could be holy before him without blame. So you could stand before him as a righteous son. So you could stand before him without having any condemnation. You could stand before him in full confidence, knowing that hell's not going to be your home. Heaven is forever. And this happened because Jesus saw you. Man, we ought to be shouting this morning. Yes, it's 4th of July weekend. We got a 3-day weekend, or some of you got more. In all this, we ought to be happy. But the best thing that you ought to be happy about today is that eternity past, way back yonder, God saw you. And listen, he said, I want that. That one's mine. Boy, he chose him. That's beyond comprehension to me why he would choose me. I don't understand it. Don't make any sense because I know how bad I am. I might can fool you, but bless God, I cannot fool him. Listen to this. He saw that blind man, knew everything that blind man would ever know, ever do wrong. He saw you and knew everything you would ever do wrong. Anything you've ever done, you will do, and you're going to do in the future. He saw that before the foundation of the world, and he still desired to save you so you could stand before him without blame. And to me, my friend, that don't make any sense. You see, I think I got to be good enough. And the Bible does teach we're to live according to the Word of God. I know that. But none of my goodness was the reason that he saw me then. Hey, you say, it wasn't a bit of my righteousness. It is filthy rags. I cannot do enough. But bless God, when he sees you, and he did before that foundation of the world, I cannot get over that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Your translation may say still. While you were still a sinner, you were still blind. When he chose you, you was not any good. Without Christ, you are nothing, the Bible teaches. Listen, and he saw you in your sinful state, and bless God, he still chose you as his own. This don't make any sense to men, does it? Of how he saw sometimes. Hey, it may be somebody that's going to be saved, that right now they may be in a prison house. They may have even committed murder. They may have done some other vile things. They may be addicted to certain drugs. They may be all kind of things you can put in that place. But he didn't see any of that. What he seen was his love, the love of his son. He saw him before he saw us. How special is it that Christ died that we could be sons of God? I told them in the Sunday school class, hey, we are guilty of saying we are children of God. And you see, we do that so we include the women and the girls. And listen, I believe that's very important. But where we miss out on it is understanding something about how the birthright worked in the Jewish belief. And in those times, you see, the eldest son was to get everything. He was to be the heir. And that's why I believe the Bible teaches, it don't say women become sons of God, men become sons of God. It says when we are saved, we become sons of God. So we're given an inheritance with God, or we're made co-equals with Christ through that sacrifice he did for us. And I will tell you something, we ought to shout about it, we ought to praise him today. We'll be so excited that I can stand and say, Almighty God, I'm his son. You see, you were your parents' child. You never got a choice in that. You didn't have one choice of who your mom and daddy was. Not a bit. I didn't. If I could have chose, I'd probably chose someone rich and someone that lived on the beach and someone that had all this. Boy, I'd have it figured out. Do you know what? That wasn't God's design. I didn't have any choice in how I was born. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're like this blind man, we're just beggars. You see, we don't like to think about that. We're living in a society where we are to teach our children, they are to have self-esteem. And I believe that. That's a good thing to teach and encourage them and let them know they're special. Let them know they're fearfully and wonderfully made. But one day, they got to come to the realization if they're ever going to receive Christ. And by this way, I know it gets confusing when you say this, because listen, me and you don't know who it is that was chosen. We don't know that. God knows everything, so he knows this. But listen, when they are given this chance, they must realize something. Just as that blind man realized that he was blind. He realized he could not make himself better because nobody in the community could make him better. If he was to be made better, it would have to be a work of God. And for that to happen, he had to have faith. And we're going to see that in just a little bit. But listen, this blind man, he knew one thing, that he was a beggar. And he knew that he needed his eyes touched. And today, before you can receive Christ, you must find out something, that you are a lost beggar. It's been said that the reason people's not saved is nobody's lost. You see, we don't see our conditions. We are blind and we will not see it. And you cannot see it until he touches your eyes and enlightens your eyes to see that you're in a lost condition. And brother, I remember when it began happening to me. I was married, 21 years old. I remember I was riding in a truck and I turned the radio station. I was in North Alabama delivering something. And I began hearing some gospel music. And I just left it on there for a few minutes. And I began hearing this stuff, and man, it began speaking to me. And I began visiting church every now and then on Sunday morning. And it began taking shape. And I thought that I was going to get over this thing. I thought, I'm too young for this. I'm just newly married. Me and Stephanie got a lot of things we want to do, and it don't include church. We got all this. Always going to go. When we got married, we was sure enough broke. I'm talking about, we used to say where I worked that there's different kinds of broke. We was broke where you couldn't buy a Coca-Cola broke. There's broke where you can only buy a pickup truck or a house, but we was broke, you couldn't buy a Coca-Cola. So we couldn't go on a honeymoon, so we had this great honeymoon planned, and by the way, the only way we could do it was her mom and stepdad was going to have to go with us to help pay for it. So we was going to go to Panama City. We had our plans made. All these clubs we was going to go to. Yeah, we had it go at it figured out. But listen to this. John chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus spat. The first point was Jesus saw. The second point was Jesus spat. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, I struggled all week trying to figure this out, and I'm going to tell you, I probably still don't have it figured out, because only God probably knows the reason that he touched it with clay. But what I have come across, and all these weren't my original ideas, because I'm not this smart, but it did make sense. Has anybody here ever had any dirt in their eyes? Raise your hand if you have. Anybody ever ride a dirt bike? You got dirt in your eyes? Boy, it wasn't fun. You know what happened when you got dirt in your eyes? They become irritated, didn't they? You know how God begins working on a man, woman, or boy, or girl? They become miserable. We become miserable, lost beggars and sinners, and he has to convict us of that sin. And boy, when that conviction's going on, it's not funny. You begin realizing how dirty you are. And listen, you find out you may try different things. And I did. I'm going to tell you my testimony in part of this because I think that's what the Lord has led me to do. We was going to Florida. And we had all these plans, as I told you. as we got down there, conviction of God got a hold of me, and I was miserable. We went to one of them clubs, and I was miserable. It was like I was in a foreign land. I didn't want no part of it. I went into the motel room, and I cried, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going on with me. I told Stephanie about it, and she wasn't happy because we had these big plans of all we was going to do in our wildness, I guess is the way to put it, we was going to have down there. And as I stayed there for 3 or 4 days in a miserable condition, I believe it's likened into the eyes of that man with clay in them. His eyes was in a irritated state with that clay in them. And listen, when I come home, I called my mother. I remember where I was on 431 just outside Lafayette. I called Mama and I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what, but I need to do something. I began telling her the feelings I was having. And she said, well, you want me to call Alton Stadium, have meet you at church? I said, I don't know. But I know I need something. And so she set me up a meeting with him. And then I went up there that night. And he explained to me the gospel and showed me in the Word of God on the second pew of Concord. If you stand at the pulpit, it would be that one where Amber's sitting. And I remember that he led me to Christ right there. And brother, I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew I was irritated. And I knew I had to have some relief. And what I tried down there didn't happen. It didn't work. And what I thought would do away with it didn't work. There was one thing that was going to happen. I was going to have to go wash. My eyes was irritated, my spiritual eyes, under conviction. You see, I've seen people under conviction since then. I see them when you stand up, and in old days, they used to, before we had children's churches, when little babies was in the church, I have seen men grab babies, and all of a sudden they wanted to play with a baby when it was altar call. Or they would grab a song book, and they would all of a sudden want to sing when it was altar call. And I've seen them sit there. I've saw their hands grip the backs of pews so their knuckles were white. I've saw them had to move around because their heart was beating so hard they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I tell you what was going on was their spiritual eyes was irritated. They was under conviction. His eyes was irritated. It makes perfect sense. It's painful when you got dirt in your physical eyes. When God begins to work and draw a lost sinner unto himself, he causes some irritant. Can you remember before you were saved? I bet you if you can that you're going to tell me there was some irritation. Only other experience I have besides mine, which I know mine better than anybody else because it was mine, was probably Amberly's. And I remember, and she don't mind me telling this because I tell so much else on her. But I remember when she would come to us and she said, I'm having nightmares and it's about hell. I see the fires of hell. What I do, and you cannot save your children for you, and I'm glad I'm smart enough to know that. I said, baby, God's going to have to open your eyes. God's going to have to let you understand when it's that time. And that time came, and I remember that she received Christ in her room, and guess what? That next night, she didn't see no fire no more, and it's been several years since then, and even today, if it has, she hasn't told me that irritant went away, and she no longer sees those things, and she's at peace with that salvation. But irritants had to come before she would give in to God. Irritants come. We can't get rid of them any other way. They will not go away. And anything spiritual that God has for us to do, it will not go away. You can numb it. You can dumb it down and all these things, but it will not go away. I remember when I was dealing with my call to preach, I went to Randall Moore and I told him what I thought was going on. He said, well, you're crazy. Don't do it. He said, don't do it. I was looking for encouragement. He said, don't do it. He said, I'll tell anybody don't do it. And then I'd go to him a little later and he'd say, don't do it. And then he finally explained to me after I did it, he said, I knew if it was real, you had to do it. There was no getting out of it. He said, but I always try to discourage people because I don't want to encourage something they brought up in their mind. But he also told me something I'll never forget. He'll say 5 years down the road, you're going to understand this statement. He said, nobody in their right mind wants to preach the Word of God. He said, it's something that you don't want to do on your own. But the irritants come. This clay is like the conviction of guilt that God through the Holy Spirit brings when he draws. It's the guilt of knowing that you're not right with God. You see, we are created. I believe this. We're created with a spot in our hearts for God that only he can fill. There's not another substance that can fill it. And brother, we see it tried all the time. It's tried with all kinds of things. I'm not going to get into that. Y'all know what they are. But we try to fill all these things with what belongs with God there. And then we wonder why we're not happy. Why is this going on? Why is that going on? Hey, you remember the little toy we had as kids? Where it had the different shapes and you had to put the different shape in the hole? Listen, the heart would not go in the star hole. The star would not go in the heart hole. And all those other shapes it had, you had to have the exact right shape to go in the exact hole. And that's exactly what it is in our spiritual lives. You cannot put anything else. You can't even put preaching. You can't even put teaching. You can't put being a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or anything in that hole that God belongs as your Savior. It will not work. He brought irritants to that man. Next, Jesus sent. He sent him. Sent him to that pool. Even the name of it meant sent. Go wash. As I told you, as I was on the way home from Florida, and my mother had made that meeting, and I went, I didn't know what was going to happen. I'd been raised in church. I didn't know any of that. But one thing I knew was something was going on that I couldn't handle. And something had to be done because I was irritated. I was convicted. I had to have some relief. Well, he told this man, he said, go wash in this pool of Siloam. Go wash in this pool that's called sent. So the Bible says in verse number 7, and he said to him, go wash. And it says he went his way and he washed. He went, and I believe he bent down, and he washed that clay out of his eyes, and all of a sudden something happened that he had never seen before. He saw light. And not only did he see light, he saw beautiful images. He saw stuff all around him that he'd always heard about. Listen, I'd done the exact same thing spiritual. I had heard about all this. I didn't understand it. But the moment that I gave my life to Christ on that pew, I remember the first thing I want to do is go tell mama. And then I went to work. I wanted to tell everybody else. And it didn't figure long for me to figure out that people didn't care much about it as I did. I was excited. And listen, I wanted to tell people what had happened in my life. And I believe he did also. The Bible says he went and he washed and he came seeing. He washed. When that irritation of God's there, the only thing that can work is washing. Now watch this, as Charles Stanley says. I like when he says that because you're on the radio. But he says, watch this. You remember what it says? Washing with the water of the Word. How do we go wash today? With the Word of God. It's impossible for man, woman, boy, or girl to be saved outside of the Word of God. It says faith come by hearing and hearing come by the Word of God. That's how you wash today. When the Spirit of God gets you and it convicts you and lets you know you're a lost sinner, what must happen? You must go wash in the pool. And my friend, there's only one pool and it's right here. You must go there, and it tells you what happened. It tells you that a man named Jesus died and shed his blood for your sins. And he is the only way. He's the only pool. This man, I believe, could have went to every other river that was over there. He could have went to every mud hole and done all these things. He could have been baptized 100 times. But if he had not washed the pool of Siloam, he would not have seen. You cannot try any other water but the Word of God. Go wash. You got to remember, this man went strictly on faith. He'd never heard of this before. He'd even never saw Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know what Jesus was about. All he knows was here was a chance for him to be seeing. And he took it. And he believed him. And he went his way. And he washed his eyes. And his eyes was opened. You see, we cannot see God, but we can do the same thing this blind man did. He heard the voice of Jesus. Go wash. We will never see Jesus probably with these physical eyes on this earth, but we can hear the voice through the Holy Spirit of God drawing, saying, go wash. You're dirty. Go wash. And he went only from trusting the voice of God. What a wonderful story it was. We've just seen a blind man miraculously healed. His eyes was opened. He can now see all the beauty that God had created. It would be a great story if we cut it off right there. And if you've ever been blind, or if you've ever had a blind, it's not fun. I've never been completely blind, but I have been blind in one eye and still am. It's not fun, but you can live with it. You can get through it. But spiritual blindness, you cannot live with that. We're about to see the greatest thing that happened. But I want to show you one more thing before we get there. So we see that Jesus saw, Jesus spat, Jesus sent, and now the man speaks. The man speaks. Chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. Listen to this. The neighbors, therefore, when they had seen him, that he was blind, says, not this he that sat and begged. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. Anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to wash the pool of Siloam. I went and washed and received sight. Pretty simple, wasn't it? You see, we have people today say, well, how is a man, woman, boy, or girl saved? How is salvation still available? The exact same way this blind man was. But listen, when that happens, we're getting an opportunity to do something. We have what's called a testimony. You see, a testimony service I was reading about this morning, J. Vern McGee, he said he lived in California, if you ever know anything about him. He said he was so tired of hearing the fancy testimonies. He said because we do these fancy testimonies and we lead people to believe that some sinners are greater than others. We believe that the greatest alcoholic could be saved the greatest and the greatest drug addict could be saved the greatest. And he said we do all this. And he said what we do is we're guilty of bringing the spotlight upon ourselves. I was a great alcoholic till I received Christ. Then I turned my life around. You see, he said, only thing we should be able to say is I was blind and a man named Jesus opened my eyes. All that man understood at that point was what had been done. His eyes had been opened. He wasn't a great preacher. He wasn't a great teacher. When one of them Pharisees come to him and said, what happened? All he knew to say was a man named Jesus opened my eyes. Verses 24 through 27. Listen to this. Then again, this is the second time. They had done called his parents, by the way. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You see, the moment we are receive this salvation, the scoffers come. Satan sends them right then. What happened to you? How did it happen? What took place? How do you know you're his? How do you know for sure? Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. You don't believe that, do you? Boy, it starts right then. He says, one thing I know. I didn't see spiritual things, but now I see. That faith come by hearing. Notice what he said? A man named Jesus said, go wash, I washed. The voice of God. Then I want you to see that Jesus saves. 9:35 through 37. Boy, how simple this is. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. By the way, this meant not had he just been thrown out of the temple, but when you was cast out, you was no longer part of civilization. It was the same thing they did to the lepers. They was no longer part of the city. You couldn't go and buy and sell. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't work. You was put out by yourself because they thought he was a blasphemer. He was lying on God. So they put him out. When Jesus heard, now Jesus knew already because he knows everything, but when Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he went for him again, didn't he? When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, Lord, I believe. First of all, let me back up 37. Jesus said unto him, thou hast thou both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. He said in verse 36, he said, how can I know him? How can I know him? If I knew who he was, yeah, I would believe on him. He says, that one you've seen, that you're looking at right now, and that you're talking with, is the Son of God. He said, I believe. Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Boy, it's that simple. Jesus asked the most important question of his or our life. Now, if you don't get anything else, you get this today. Jesus today is still asking the same question to you. Yes, he has to come in the same way. He has to open your eyes before you can see him. He has to open your spiritual eyes. Until he enlightens you, you are spiritually blind. You cannot see you need a Savior. You cannot see your lost condition. He has to touch your eyes first. That's the Holy Spirit of God drawing. That's what we're talking about. But Jesus asked him a question. Do you believe in the Son of God? He's asking you that exact same question today. I hope most of you's answered it correctly. Do you believe in the Son of God? He understood what Jesus had done for him. He understood the physical condition God had brought him out of through the touch of the clay. But it wasn't that. It was obedience that healed his blindness. But here, a different kind of eyes was given to this blind man. A different kind of life. You see, he was going to die physically one day. He was going to be seeing all. I believe he had 20/20 vision or better. But there was going to come a time when he, even as good as he could see, he was going to draw his last breath and he was going to stand before an almighty God. But here we see that Jesus gave him the confidence he needed to stand before that God because he had answered this question. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. We talked about it in Sunday school. Used to in churches, you would see people, preacher would give an altar call. People who didn't want to be saved would come to the altar. Still can be that way. I understand you don't have to. You can be saved in your seat. You can be saved in your car, in your bedroom, wherever you're at. Spirit of God opens them eyes. You got a chance to say yes, you can receive him. But I can remember when they would come and you see people would say, well, oh, what happened if he didn't make it to the altar? I believe the minute that we obey, that our mind tells our feet to head towards him, that we are saved. You see, it's not the works you do when you get here. It's the act of obedience and the trust that is called faith. I worried for years. I told you about that salvation experience of mine in June 27th, 1996. But since then, I've worried, did I say the right things? Did I ask him the right things to forgive me from? Did I say that? Did I understand what I was? Boy, the questions has come. And then one day as I was riding down the road, it was just as plain as day. It's not what you did, it's what he has done. You see, the only thing I had to do was have faith to head towards him. It's just like that prodigal son. When he headed home, the father was out in the yard waiting. And then when he got a glimpse of him, he ran. The father ran. And that day, grown men didn't run. The father ran. When our eyes are open, we're given the choice of eternity. The choice of eternity. Boy, it's the best choice the blind man had ever made. Jesus come back hunting him. He was an outcast now. He was could see, but he didn't have any way to make any money because he's outcasted. Life was just continually throwing him down. But when Jesus came and found him and asked him that important question, he says, I believe. Then he done something else. He worshiped him. Listen, once our eyes are open and we know that we are saved by the grace of God, according to the Word of God, we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship him. Worship is much more than coming to a church house. Worship is a way of life. Daily worship of a true and living Savior. You see, if you've got the daily thing right, you ain't going to have to worry about the church thing. Because you're going to want desire to be around other believers, like-minded people. But today, I believe that Jesus is still touching people and opening eyes. I believe there may be people here. He may have put some clay in your eyes, and you may be miserable. It's a miserable thing. The Bible calls it a fearful thing to fall in the hand of a living God. It's a miserable thing to know that you're lost until that day that you wash. You see, he's still the same Jesus he was in that day. He still sees you when you can't see him. And he's still calling to you today, asking you the same question he asked this blind beggar. Do you believe in the Son of God? That is the only way. You notice he didn't ask, do you believe in God? The devils even believe in God, and they tremble. He says, do you believe in the Son of God? You hear me say it all the time. You can go to anywhere in the world you want to, and you can mention God, and you don't have any problem. When you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you stir feathers, because there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Do you believe in the Son of God? As we stand, as Pat comes play, I don't know any hearts. I don't know any lives. I don't know who's lost, who's saved. I'm glad I don't. I don't know who will be saved. I don't know who won't be saved. All I know is I'm to tell the world according to the Scripture. You see, the truth of the matter is I can't save a single one. I think it was D.L. Moody that was on the streets of England. And he had been preaching, and he walked to a crosswalk, and there was this man who still had a liquor bottle in his hand. And he said, ain't you D.L. Moody? He said, yes, I am. He said, you saved me. He said, you look like one I'd save. We can't save anybody. The saving experience of man, woman, boy, girl is the work of God. It's the work of God. And God is not out of business. He's still working. As she plays, you may be here this morning, you are irritated. You've got clay in your spiritual eyes, and you've got to wash. You can step out and you can come down here and I'll pray with you. And you can even ask Jesus into your heart right where you stand. But this is a good place to come. The main thing is that you answer that question. When those spiritual eyes are open and you're asked, do you believe? Jesus asked him a question. Undoubtedly, if he asked him a question, he had a choice he could make. Do you believe in the Son of God? He said, Lord, I believe. What about you today? Church attendance don't do it. Baptism don't do it. The only thing that will keep you out of hell is faith in Jesus Christ.